Świetnie maska.
Dzień dobry, widzę, że wszyscy już jesteśmy w komplecie, więc serdecznie chciałam Państwa powitać na naszej konferencji prezentującej wyniki za 3 kwartały 2013 roku. Dziękuję za tak liczne przybycie.
Przecież mówi
prezesowi Mateuszowi Morawieckiemu.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to welcome all of you and with pleasure I'll present to you our main elements, the highlights of our profit and loss of our strategy. I'll tell you how the merger progresses and where we are as regards the performance against our plans. And I'll tell you also what are our plans for the future, starting with the challenges related to the merger. I have to tell you that we are very well advanced in progressing our merger plan. And maybe without sticking very firmly to the slides, starting with the merger as such, after 9 months, actually we are close to rebranding, or actually we completed it, we harmonized our product offering. That is, each customer who comes to the branch, not only to each of our over 800 branches, has the possibility to avail of the same product proposition, but also is provided with service based on the same systems. And that is why the products and processes do not differ at all. So we are really well advanced, even more than we originally assumed. Let me just summarize that very shortly, because our people and the management board are very proud of this achievement, that in January, 3 weeks after the legal merger, we managed to combine the payment systems. In February, we already had the uniform credit card and cash loans offer. We then had a uniform offer for SMEs, and in April, we had the uniform deposit proposition. In June and July, we implemented big financial solutions, which cost us then a lot, and you might have noticed that the integration costs were higher in the first half year than in quarter three. If we actually took some quarterly indicators from the previous half year, because we already made a lot of, this is why, because we already made a lot of investments in quarter two. We also physically rebranded all our outlets, and we also closed 61 outlets, so this part of the merger is also over. Moreover, we managed to reduce our headcount thanks primarily to voluntary departures. And in the closed branches, of course, people had to leave, but primarily we had people departing the headquarters. While in the branch banking business, we do not have many departures. Today, thus, we are ahead of the plan as regards the delivery of our assumptions underpinning the merger. If you even look at the cost items, I'll tell you about them later as well. You'll be able to see on the slide, for example, number 11, you can see that we thought that the cost will be 175 million across the year as regards cost synergies. Well, on the next slide, slide number 12, you can see that if you look at the data of pro forma for three quarters of 2011, and that's what we compare as regards synergies and what we manage today, this is 193 million. So we can say that in three quarters we delivered what we assumed for the whole year. So summarizing the merger, but I'll still come back to that in other contexts. We are very well advanced in our plans. There are no surprises, especially adverse ones. There are only good things. The costs are reducing at a quicker pace than we assumed. Income grows at a higher pace, especially on the blue, the so-called blue side. That is the efficiency and productivity of the people in business per product, per customer. What we always measure per branch keeps increasing at a higher pace than we originally assumed. As regards the culture, which is more tangible, which is as tangible, it's more difficult to measure. But in terms of corporate culture, the merger has actually been completed. All organizational structures have been sorted out. All the appointments have been made. The management board and at all other managerial levels, we have stabilized cadre. Just so we operate on the business as usual basis. Let me move now to a few basic parameters of the balance sheet and related to income and tell you a few words about it. First, as regards income, we have interest income and non-interest income. As regards net interest income, let me start with deposits. In deposits, we have a lot of positive achievements. And as you can figure it out, for the first 9 months of the year, we were actually implementing a very intensive repricing campaign of deposits inherited from XKB. It's a very important process for us because if you look at NIM, which increased again in quarter three, and I would suggest that this growth is going to be stable, sustainable, and this is our ambition, to have the NIM grow. One of the main contributors for that was the revaluation of pricing of deposits for customers. Let me step back for a few seconds. XKB, because KBC withdrew its funds in 2012, had very aggressively, very quickly to raise some 6 billion worth of deposits from the markets. They were raised in April and May 2012 and then in July and in October. Therefore, from the very start, every few months we had an opportunity to keep these customers with us, but at lower rates, which from our perspective was the process very positively supported by the MPC monetary policy, the cuts they introduced. So if we wanted to ask about attrition, frankly speaking, is something marginal. We've never even discussed that at the management board, but there was nothing to discuss really in this respect because we didn't have the outflow of customers despite the fact that we repriced our deposits. I think that one of the reasons was the fact that the customers appreciated the wide access to the outlets, the quality of our brand, and the easy access to loans. And many of these customers are now our borrowers who have accounts with us, credit cards, and they actually are, well, we have a lot of cross-selling in this respect. Just to complete on this, recently we managed to raise 2 additional billion worth of deposits from the market without any impact on, without triggering negative margins on term deposits. And that shows, reflects the strength of our brand, the quality of our management, but also the acquisition capacity of our branch network.
On the credit side, the margins on loans were also following the upward trend. The deposit mix is always a bit misleading here in our bank because we had, as BZWBK, we had a standalone ratio of 8 billion of consumer loans in PLN, and from KB we received 1 billion of property, and then 19 billion of mortgage, and some of it in Swiss franc. And so in terms of real estate and mortgage, we did not want to beat the market in terms of that growth. We did not want to grow at all in terms of the Swiss franc mortgage loans. We wanted to reduce the portfolio in line with the recommendation from KNF. But in terms of the mortgage in PLN, each month we are increasing the mortgage margin, and today it is at a good level. This process will continue. I hope that this discussion on the on bond securitization and so on pledged will translate into a more logical structure of the market, maybe aligned to the foreign models, because for example in the UK the marginal mortgage loans are higher than they are in Poland. The same happens in Germany. So I hope this is going in that direction. So far we're increasing the margin on the PLN mortgage loan, and we don't sanction almost no loans in foreign currency. 40% of our mortgage portfolio is expressed in FX, and we are increasing our PLN share. When you see the growth in terms of FX quarter to quarter, that's zero. We cannot, of course, compare the annual data. So we are repricing the mortgage loan book. Then we have a negative impact on our NIM, deriving from the Lombard rate and the interest rate cut. The cash loans on the merged bank are going in the right direction. They exceed our expectations. We see a fantastic growth year on year, and this compensates this relative lower decrease in margin. You know, you remember that this hasn't happened immediately. We've had changes to the Lombard rate and so on. So this all happened between January. When was the Lombard rate cut? June or May. So it took several months. So we needed to cut the margin on our high margin credit cards and loans. And so the margin there suffered, but a general picture, because the product is bears a high margin, about 10.5-11%, the growth in terms of volume, despite the cuts, it was translated in a negative way in our budget. You can't see that, but the NIM is positive. Now, lending to SMEs, we see some growths with double-digit growth, so very high ones. We're especially happy with the good risk parameters, because, for example, last year, you know, SMEs suffered a lot from the crisis, a lot. Large corporate are less vulnerable to worsened macroeconomic conditions. And in our case, not only the total profitability on the SME customers, but the margin alone covers to a vast extent all the provisions we had to raise. And if we add all the non-interest income, and we've got a lot of those, that's only 30%. In terms of loan, that's only 25% of income in the pie chart from the SME sector. So all the remaining income translate really great to our PLN account. In terms of the corporate sector, the growth was less dynamic, but also masked by the 7 billion of property portfolio that is remained that is flat. In terms of the investment loans, we did not see a high demand. However, Mick McCarthy, in charge of corporate banking, has been suggesting to us, the management board members, that the pipeline has been growing dynamically and that we are more and more optimistic in terms of the of production growth in that particular segment. GBM, that's a division we created about 2 years ago. The margins are working well, the non-credit income is high, we have a lot of guarantees. Next year we're expecting very high growth, two-digit growth in that division. We've got now an experienced team, we've got some deals in the pipeline, so we want to use that momentum we're in to generate high returns. So let me add also something about non-interest income before I pass to provisions and costs. In terms of non-credit income, we have some interesting things. We have FX fees on the rise. The margins, as you probably know, have fallen in that respect, in that area, but the volume growth, maybe we could look at the quarter-to-quarter figures on slide 21st. When we see quarter-to-quarter, we've got a 5% growth. We cannot really compare annual data because that was prior to the merger, but quarter-to-quarter, we see some visible growth and we're very happy with it. BZWBK is very strong in the eastern side of Poland, thanks to the merger with KB. Poland, in the especially the parts close to the borders, you know, they're focused on the export, and there are a lot of SMEs, a lot of large companies that benefit from that export-driven growth. And we know that export is rising very dynamically, and we're benefiting from that. So when we compare that to last year, we will see a lot of positive things because the margin is now flat and we are now fighting for volumes. And in terms of volumes, volume-wise, we see that in terms of FX, we have grown by 5%. Similarly to an item, iBusiness and payments, quarter to quarter we see a growth by 4.5%, so that also looks good. And here I have to say I really believe in the income synergies on the side of KB. When we structure all the schedule of fees and charges, the sales system, the bonus scheme, if it's all harmonized with BZWBK, in 2015 the non-credit income could be at the same level both at the X Blue network and the Green network. So we see that we're benefiting from this growing efficiency across the Green network. So the element I pointed out to at the very beginning, so the income synergies, I think these will be delivered. Of course, they don't go at such a high pace as the cost synergies. We have delivered about 30 million. In terms of cost synergies, we've got 180 million. But this is a snowball effect, and the production efficiency is being harmonized across the branches. So the non-credit income, I think this stream will be harmonized around the date I mentioned. In terms of the interest income, I've mentioned that already, interest margin, if we look at this starting point, 312 basis points in the fourth quarter, that's a consolidated result, 3.12, 336, 362, so the intention is for it to grow, so that's all about income. Eamon will definitely talk about some details around that.
Let me move to costs now. We are actually running 62 cost containment initiatives, which are business as usual initiatives, but also those related to the merge of the banks. We renegotiate contracts. We exited 61 branches. So in those locations, we already don't pay rents. And this is roughly 6-7% of the network. We've reduced the manpower primarily, as you will see. The level of severance pay per employee, you would also see the confirmation that in majority this is natural attrition, because this is lower than in the case of the competitive banks that had to reduce their headcount in recent years. And that's quite an interesting comparison. So the reduction of the OPEX, marketing costs, IT costs, telecommunication costs, of course, rental of buildings and premises and their maintenance. But we also have seen very nice reduction in the security costs, cleaning, maintenance of IT systems, and as regards IT systems, we are only halfway, because for another 10 months we will be conducting the commissioning of 200 systems. The system is progressing step by step. Then we'll have one wave in January, then in April, and then the last one will be in October. So we'll have then all the systems decommissioned. So then we'll have all the products migrated, and we will have all the accounts of customers migrated to XKB customers migrated to BZWK platform. So the administration costs, very positive development here, quarter on quarter, less than by 10%. And we are ahead of the plan here, staff costs, similarly. But please note that we have a lagging effect here. If you look at that quarter on quarter, it's minus 4%, but that still includes some severance pay. There is some lag. So we keep progressing with the reductions, because we have some overlapping units, departments like IT or marketing, and we will just need one of them. So the very positive cost story. Provisions. I will just highlight to you that even though before on the market I was talking about the risk charge in the order of 110-120 basis points, now I can see that this will be roughly 100 to 110 basis points, so it'll be lower than we assumed. If you look at the risk charge dynamics in the first three quarters, I would be surprised, and there would really have to be a heavy surprise, a big one, unexpectable at the moment at all, to make this risk charge higher than 120 basis points for the whole year. I would rather say that there is an opportunity on the upside that will be better than we assumed. As regards the non-performing loans, we saw the peak in quarter two, and we think that now the trend will be positive, maybe quite clear positive trend. So it will not be one-tenth down each quarter, but maybe we'll see a bigger reduction in this portfolio. And I think that this will be a continued trend. The quality of the portfolio keeps improving, and that's the reflection of the macroeconomic environment to some extent, but also that's the reflection of a very good selection of tools, the ways of providing loans to customers, and the selection of customers. And even though the recent 2 years were the years of the clear slowdown in the economy, we show very positive trends, and we trust our business intelligence people, our risk management people, that we can actually measure very well at particular vintages, populations, and so on, so different categories for different loans. This is a religion number one, and this is all about our risk appetite statement. So summarizing, the key indicators on a year-to-date basis after three quarters, excluding the integration costs, which are really a one-off non-recurring item and we'll never see them again, the cost income after 9 months is at 41.5%, and it's on the decline. Our ambition is to have it under 40% over subsequent years, and we are on a good track to do it. Tier 1 ratio, 12%, really good, solid one. And the return on equity, having excluded the integration cost at 15.8%. And I have to say that our ambition is to get it close to 20. And for me, this is something desirable. And I will say that the former BZWK was quite regular in outturning such a ratio. And this is our target. So I would expect the return on equity higher. That's our plan, our ambition, than what we see this year. So summarizing, we have a uniform broad products and service for the customers. We actively manage our deposit base and cost of funding. And all that actually yielded a good net interest margin. We have a good growth in loans in different categories. It differs from category to category, but we are very happy with the profitability of our loans, the cross-sell rates. The growth in the number of accounts, the Kevin Spacey campaign has only just started, but in September already we saw the growth in sales, which was the double of what we saw in a month before, in all other months before, actually, because August is a bit of summer month. So on average in September we sold twice as many accounts as before. So you can see what's the hit of the campaign of the merged bank with rebranding and Kevin Spacey featuring in our ads, with the combined sales forces, uniform product set, and the upgrade of skills on the part of branch staff. The good cost management also allowed us to show you the profits that we disclose here and now. But closing, let me tell you that we managed to actually make the organization a uniform one. The word of merger is not said anymore. We rather talk about business, how to grow our sales, how to reduce the risk, how to have the right risk reward, how to increase our deposit base so that we can grow our lending business also in GBM. And that's what predominates in all the conversations. We have integrated international corporate culture, the management board that works very well, that understands one another very well. And I have to say that we have excellent cooperation with Santander through GBM, but also by the support and benchmarking. And that's a big support in day-to-day business, to get benchmarks from all over the world on a daily basis for three from comparable organizations as regards the sales of... Sorry for getting into detail here, but you can imagine that for the thousands of our directors in different units, branches, CBCs, and so on, this is a very important argument, something to challenge them with. In management terms, this is a huge leverage for us. And, of course, we... actually avail of SANS experience in funds, bank insurance, and first of all in GBM. So I'm very optimistic about the future. We would like to reduce the cost-income ratio, to increase our ROE, and to increase our net and gross profit next year. Thank you, and I'm handing over to Eamon, our CFO.
Okay, thank you, Mateusz. So, as outlined by Mateusz, very strong results across all lines, and I want to give you some detail with respect to the background of those. So, as promised the last presentation, we said we'd give you more information on the costs and the cost reduction. So I'll ask you to turn to page 11. And specifically, I will start on integration costs. So our total integration cost budget was 595 million, which covered both capital expenditure and operational expenses. And we're confident at this stage that we should end up below this number. The planned operational integration costs, 432 million. To the end of September, we've incurred 190 million of expenditure. In the fourth quarter, we would expect to be 60 to 80 million of expenditure. Most of the remaining amount will be spent next year, and there may be some small amount in 2015. But progress in that regard is quite good. On capital expenditure, Mateusz outlined the number of projects that we're involved in, and specifically the transfer of historic data from the old profile system in Credit Bank onto the ICBS system. So the level of expenditure is ramping up in CapEx. We had a budget of 163 million, and we've authorised 117 million at this moment. So just that gives you an indication where we are. I draw your attention to not only the 175 million target, but also the 340 million target. That's a target whereby we stated that we would save annualised operational expenses of 340 million when compared to the like-for-like base in 2011. And again, we are confident that we'll exceed that number, and I'll give you some detail on that. On slide 12, as noted by the President, we've made significant progress versus 2011. Nearly 9% lower, and versus 2010, nearly 8% lower. But what's interesting here is that last year in 2012, we estimate that we actually saved 115 million of annualised savings. So they're flowing into this year. And this year to date, we've saved 167 million of annualised costs, which will flow into next year. Not all of them, but some of them will flow into next year. And they relate to the fact that, you know, we renegotiated contracts from the middle of the year. They come into effect, and we get the annualised saving from those, plus obviously headcount reduction, which has been occurring through the year. So, as mentioned by the President, the savings will accelerate as we move into next year, and we'll see even further benefits. But it gives you an indication of the progress we're making and the fact that we are well ahead of where we expected to be with regard to this area. So I'll just turn your attention now to page slide 20, and we'll talk about interest income. In quarter three, the interest income was 864 million. That's an 8% increase versus quarter two, and also a 15% increase versus quarter one. And not only that, it's a 3.5% increase year-on-year on a like-for-like basis. So in an environment where we have seen significant interest rate reductions, this has been a remarkable performance by way of how we've managed our balance sheet and specifically managed our funding base. If we include other interest-related income, which is generated on FX and basis swaps, which is reported elsewhere, the underlying increase is 7.6%. But I just want to highlight to you here that one of the areas of success for us as well is that we've implemented hedge accounting on nearly all our book. So the differential between FX swap income and income recorded in the net interest income has narrowed significantly. And that is in fact a difference in approach from, say, Credit Bank, where they didn't operate this approach. As mentioned by the President, we continue to focus on the net interest margin by actively managing our deposit base, and we can clearly see the benefit flowing into quarter three, and that will stabilise by way of deposit cost of deposits in quarter four. By way of net interest margin, 3.62% in quarter three, a 16 basis point increase quarter on quarter, and a 27 basis point increase versus quarter one. And if we estimate quarter four, it's something like a 0.5% increase versus on a like-for-like basis if you put the two banks together in quarter four. If we turn to slide 21, on net fees and commissions, they increased by 0.5% quarter on quarter, 3% versus quarter one. They're slightly lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Some of that is related to the fact that credit fees last year was slightly higher, given the growth, higher growth in the book last year. But saying that, very strong performance in e-business and payments, and this is due to the fact that this year alone we've opened 330,000 new current accounts, and the card usage off that has actually increased. Together with the fact FX fees have been quite strong in the last two quarters, particularly quarter three, and that's related to the volatility in the market and market fluctuations, together with a more comprehensive customer proposition to a wider branch network. Other fee lines were more or less flat, with the exception of credit fees and insurance fees. And I should mention in credit fees that quarter two was slightly higher because we had a number of larger GBM transactions that were recorded in quarter two. Otherwise, the performance there is actually quite good. Given the current discussions in the press and in the market, I just want to record our insurance-related policy, how we account for insurance-related income. And we base it on recognising an average of 30% of the fee up front, and we amortise the remaining fee over the contractual life of the contract. So if you take, for instance, a cash loan, the average contractual life is 3 years. In reality, the repayment basis is about 18 months to 2 years. So we're even more conservative by way of how we recognise that income. And this is an approach that we've had in place since 2010. So it's nothing new. It has no impact on our year-on-year numbers, and we've no worries in that regard. During quarter three, as the President mentioned, we completed the second phase of the merger, which harmonised the bank's proposition to our customers. It harmonised IT systems and harmonised the brand. So we believe this will be supportive of future fee income growth, plus credit growth in a recovering economy, supported by the national marketing campaign, which we launched on the 30th of September. So all of those together give us a very good position on which to grow our top line over the next quarters. On slide 22, the gain and loss on financial transactions and others totaled £555 million for year to date. There was a reduction of 7.6% quarter on quarter, and that is purely related to the fact that we recorded a dividend of £50 million in the Aviva companies in quarter two, offset by the fact that we had actually quite good performance in our trading activity, which I'll mention in a second. Also in quarter three, we realised gains of £108 million on our ALCO portfolio, which was an increase of £22 million quarter on quarter, and 18% represents an 18% increase. Why did we do this? Because we took advantage of the market situation in July to complete a repositioning of the investment book. And at this moment, we are very well positioned to take advantage of the market movements by way of government yield over the next number of quarters, in that we've shortened the duration of the book, and we are expecting yields to increase, although we've noticed in recent weeks they've gone down slightly. But the impact of tapering, etc., in June, July, proves us that the yield it will be influenced by foreign investors more so than the domestic economy over the next number of quarters. But it's fair to say, with regard to the repositioning of that book, we've now come to a situation where we're at the end of that particular scenario, and we are happy with the position. Also in quarter three, net trading income and revaluation amounted to £53 million. That was an increase of 85% quarter on quarter. This purely related to, similar to our FX fees, or related to the volatility in the market and the positioning of our dealers by way of FX and derivative transactions, and we took the benefit of that. Other income totaled £25 million, which is a flat number, and nothing to mention with regard to that. It's a consistent number. On slide 23, excluding integration costs, our costs are 3.8% lower, and 7.7% lower year-on-year, which I've mentioned already. The reduction in staff costs was just under 5% lower quarter-on-quarter, and that's a result of lower staff numbers, which are in the region of 950 FTEs lower year-to-date. Overall, the merged bank has just under 2,000 less FTEs when you compare it to the end of December 2011, and the President has already mentioned where we're heading with regard to that particular regard to FTEs. By way of administration costs, when we exclude integration costs, we're lower by 10.5% quarter on quarter, and that was a reduction across all lines. One highlight was the property area that the President mentioned, whereby we've reduced our property cost actually quite significantly in a short space of time. And it's also been influenced by the fact that many contracts for the larger bank were renegotiated in the first half of the year and came into effect from the 1st of July and in the third quarter. So that has helped us with regard to cost savings, and as I mentioned earlier, they will recur. On page 20, on slide 24, just to mention that underlying net operating income increased by 9.4% quarter on quarter, and on a like-for-like basis by just under 13%. So quite, I'd suggest, a good performance on all lines making up operating income. The provision charge on slide 25 was 159 million, and the year-to-date provision charge is 552 million. The provision for identified losses, that's individual and collective, was exactly 159 million, and that derived mainly from the collective SME and retail cases, with a much smaller portion represented by individual corporate cases. So it highlights the stabilisation with regard to our provision charge, which the President mentioned. The annualised provision charge reduced to 100 basis points, and we increased our coverage ratio to 54.5%. And we will continue to increase that coverage ratio over the coming quarters as we proceed. Again, as mentioned by the President, and I noted at the last presentation, 8.2% NPL ratio represented the height that we would wish that we would reduce from over quarters. And indeed, we've seen the reduction to 7.9% in the third quarter. This is as a result of managing the NPL book by way of NPL sales, which total just under 450 million year to date, significantly higher than last year's number for the standalone bank. And we'll continue to undertake these sales together with active management of the NPL book to reduce the level, as I've mentioned. We should expect, given our experience in previous years, possibly a slight increase in the provision charge in quarter four in order to close off the year. It's too early to give you a clear indication of that, but as mentioned by the President, our previous expectation of 1.2% is now likely to be beaten given the performance in the previous three quarters. To continue my approach, I've given you in the past just an outline of construction and property. These are two areas that are very stable for us, so in future quarters I may not give you the update because it's actually there isn't much to tell by way of excitement in these areas. But to give you an update, our balance sheet exposure on non-property construction is 1.8 billion. 800 million, just under 800 million of that is non-performing, and it has a 75% coverage ratio. The remaining 1 billion is well spread with no material individual exposures, and that continues to be the case with regard to our construction book. On property, there were no surprises in the property portfolio. As mentioned in quarter two, there was a transfer of selected cases from IBNR classification to NPL status during that year and that or during that quarter, and that led to an increase in our NPLs to 20%, just over 20%, 20.3% of the total property portfolio. But that is now reduced to 19% in the quarter. So again, we will see further reductions in that as we move along. In total, the performing and non-performing property book balance is 9.8 billion. The provision cover, specific and IBNR cover on the property book, is 33%. But it should be noted, and I've noted this in previous presentations, that this excludes the positive impact of a risk-sharing arrangement that we have at the KBC Group, where they will share losses on specific cases. The loan-to-value in the property book is 60%, so it's stable from previous quarters. By way of land, and again, this is an area that is reducing significantly, the total performing and non-performing balance is 900 million. That has reduced by nearly 20% in the last 6 months. The NPL share on that book is 67% with a coverage ratio of 45%. And similar to the property book that I mentioned, because this is part of the property book, we also have some risk sharing arrangements with KBC in that book as well. So the overall message on property and on construction is a very, very stable position, well managed, no concerns, and in an environment where the economy is starting to recover, we don't see any issues in these two areas. By way of slide 26, just to mention that the year-to-date profit before tax and excluding integration costs, so the underlying profit after tax is 1.5 billion, and that's nearly 14% higher on a like-for-like basis year on year. The effective tax rate in quarter three was 20%, and the year-to-date tax rate is about 19.5%. On slide 27, we just highlight the key ratios that the President mentioned. But again, excluding the integration costs, the cost-income ratio for the first three quarters is 44.7%, but as mentioned, the trajectory is downwards, so 41.5% in quarter three, which is actually quite a remarkable performance as well, given we're only three quarters into the merger. At the time of the merger, our combined cost base was well over 50%. So it's again remarkable performance. By way of capital ratio, and this is after providing for, in line with our policy, providing for a 50% dividend payment on profits, and noting the fact that we did record 1.7 billion of goodwill at the time of the merger, our capital has remained strong at 14.2%, and the Tier 1 ratio is stable at 11.9%. So quite stable situation on capital. And by way of ROE, again, very positive performance, excluding integration costs at 15.8% by way of a return. And you know, I mentioned before that this is slightly understated because we calculate the capital on the basis of the previous four quarters over the capital base. So it includes the standalone BZ Vubica profit from quarter four last year rather than the merged profit. That's a factor that will disappear from the next quarter on. So, in summary, you know, these results actually show that the top line, particularly net interest income, has performed very well and is now in a stable position. Fee and income generation has been stable after a slower quarter one. Quarter two and quarter three have been stable and positioned well for growth. You know, very effective cost management through our efficiency programs, good performance on the provision line, strong capital, together with a comfortable funding position, which we've improved to 91.3%. So if you take all those together and you take into account the position of the economy and the expected growth in the economy, we are well positioned for the future at this moment, and things are going well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Zapraszam.
Thank you very much. You're welcome to ask questions.
One would be regarding integration costs, because they are quite jumpy. They were pretty low in Q1, quite high Q2, low Q3, and your guidance for Q4 are quite high, again, similar to level of Q2 one. So my question is, what would be the reason for this volatility? And connected with this, because they are generally lower than expected, and you mentioned that you will be below the target of 432 million for the full project. Could you give her a bit more detailed guidance how much you may be below this target?
Well, okay. I can answer that question. Do you want to keep
going?
Obviously we're three quarters into an 8-quarter integration program, because we won't complete the transfer of data from the credit bank systems until quarter three, quarter four next year. So we still have a significant level of projects going on in the background with regard to that transfer. The reason for the movement to the quarters, particularly in quarter four, is the fact that, you know, the national marketing campaign that we've launched with regard to supporting the brand and the merger is quite an expensive program, and that's something that started on the 30th of September, so the cost of that is reflected in quarter four. I'd expect once we get through this quarter that next year we'll have a more stable scenario with regard to integration expenses. And we may have, and it's a little bit early to say this at this moment, but as we move through the quarter we'll have more guidance for you. We may have a slight transfer of cost between CapEx and operational. But the key thing to mention or to focus on is the total spend of $595 million, which we expect to be below. Including CapEx.
Between CapEx and OpEx.
Between CapEx and OpEx.
But below, it's more like single digit below or high double digit?
Single digit percentage below.
Yeah.
And
the second question with regard to provisioning. You mentioned in your report that you sold NPLs, a small part of NPLs in third quarter. My question is, what was direct and indirect impact of this transaction? By direct, I mean difference between price and your net book value. And indirect, did you make any adjustment in models following this transaction? Thank you.
So when we approach the sale of NPLs, we look at the bottom line P&L impact. And we approach that on the basis that it's positive. So you may have movement through the net interest income line, the provision line, by way of the sale, but the bottom line impact after tax is a positive impact.
What was the size of
the portfolio? In the financial statements, it's 34 million.
Oh, so it was net.
That's the nominal. That's the nominal value of the portfolio.
We do not call the precise number, but the assumption is that the impact was not significant. Otherwise, it meant that we were completely wrong in the provision if we realized significant gains on the sales like that.
And on the your second question relates to the fact of the impact on our LGDs or on our ratios. They had no impact, given what Wojciech has mentioned by way of our approach. But when we look at these Piotr, we always look at them on the basis of ending up with a positive result versus the after-tax impact.
Czy są jeszcze jakieś pytania? Okej, jeżeli nie, to chciałabym wszystkim podziękować za przybycie i zaprosić na nieformalną część spotkania.